Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member of Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Samaches, the end of the sixth parak Shnei Siri Yom Kippurim, and the beginning of the seventh parak Balo Kohen Gadol. The pop quiz will be in a separate file. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a brayso was brought in Daf Samach Zayin on a base that taught that the Kohen Gadol did not do nituach, dismemberment of the part and seer in the same way as the meat of an ola is done, which is first flayed and then dismembered, ela or al gabi basar. Rather, he would dismember them with the skin still on the meat. Rashi explains that the skin was not flayed at all. The Gemara here seeks a source for this halacha and brings up Rice where Rebbe says that states in connection with the burning of the par and seer of Yom Kippur or Ubasu Uperesh, hide, meat, and waste, and the same is stated by the par Kohen Mashiach. Just as the Kohen Gadol's par is burned after Ayyidei Nituach, V'Ayyidei Hefshet, having undergone dismemberment without the flaying, so to hear the par and seer of Yom Kippur are burned after having undergone dismemberment without the flaying. The Torah states regarding the par Kohen Mashiach, but the hide of the bull and all its meat, bekirbo upirsho, and its innards and its waste. So Rapapa explained, Geshem shepirsho bekirbo, just as the bull's waste must obviously remain within its innards, kach besar ba'oro, so the bull's meat should remain within its skin. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis brought a machlokes regarding when the clothing of the Kohanim taking the par and seer out of the Azor become tameh. The Chachamim hold Mishiyesu Chutz Chomos HaAzor, as soon as they exit from the walls of the Azor, and Rav Shimon says Mishiyatzis Urba Ruban, as soon as the fire catches hold of the greater part of the limbs. The Gemara here brings up rites that teaches that the Torah states regarding the part and seer of Yom Kippur, Yosiel Mechutz HaMachaneh V'Sarfu, he shall remove them to outside the camp and they shall burn. Now elsewhere, in regard to the part Kol Mashiach and the part Olam Davar, they are required to be burned outside the Shalosh Machnos, the Azor, Har HaBayis, and Yerushalayim. And yet here, with regard to the Yom Kippur Empire, it says Mechutz L'machin, implying they not be taken out of Yerushalayim. So Rashi explains that it's evident from another braisa that in fact the Par and Seer are burned outside all three camps. So if so, why is it stated at Mechutz L'machin? This is to tell you, Kevin Shiyatza, Chutz L'machin Achas, Matam Begadim. As soon as the Par and Seer leave one camp, they're Matami those transporting it along with their clothing. The Gemara will address what Rabbi Shimon learns from the Pasuk. And point number three, the opening mission of the seventh parak teaches that after the Kohen Gadol has been informed that the seer has reached the wilderness, he comes to the Ezros Nashim to read the Torah. Imratza likros bebigdei butz koreh. If he wishes to read the parsha while still clothed in linen garments, he may do so. If he doesn't wish to do so, koreh beitzlus lav mishalo. He reads it in his personal white robe. Now the Gemara notes that since the Kohen Gadol can read it in his own personal robe, makal dekriya lav avodahi, it is implied that the reading is not an avodah that should require bigdei kohuni. Yet the Mishnah states that he may read it in his linen garments. You may learn from here, Big Day Kohuna Nitnu Lahanas Behen. It's permitted to benefit from the Big Day Kohuna even when not performing an Avodah. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying that perhaps the Kriya Yom Kippur is different to Tzorach Avodi, meaning that although it's not itself an Avodah, it's an Avodah need. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a brayso was brought in Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis that taught the Kohen Gadol did not do nituach, dismemberment of the par and seer, in the same way as the meat of an ola is done, which is first flayed and then dismembered, ela or gabi basa. Rather, he would dismember them with the skin still on the meat. Rashi explains that the skin was not flayed at all. The Gemara here seeks the source of the lacha and brings up brayso where Rebbe says that it states in connection with the burning of the par and seer of Yom Kippur, or Ubasu Perish, hide, meat, and waste, and the same is stated by the par Kohen Mashiach. Just as the Kohen Gadol's par is burned after Ayyidei Nituach, V'lo Ayyidei Hefshet, having undergone dismemberment without the flaying, so to hear the par and Sirvi and Kippur are burned after having undergone dismemberment without the flaying. The Torah states regarding the par Kohen Mashiach, but the hide of the bull and all its meat, Bekirbo Upersho, and its innards and its waste. Rapapa explained, Keshem Shepersho Bekirbo, just as the bull's waste must obviously remain within its innards, kach basar ba'oro, so too the bull's meat should remain within its skin. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis brought a machlokes regarding when the clothing of the Kohanim taking the par and seer out of the Azara become tameh. The Chachamim hold Mishiyatzu Chutz Chomos HaAzara, as soon as they exit from the walls of the Azara. Rabbi Shimon says, Mishiyatzis Urba Ruban, as soon as the fire catches hold of the greater part of the limbs. The Gemara here brings up rice that teaches that the Torah states regarding the par and seer of Yom Kippur, Yotzel Mechutz L'machaneh V'Sarfu, he shall remove them to outside the camp and they shall burn. Now, elsewhere, in regard to the par Kohen Mashiach and the par Olam Davar, they're required to be burned outside the Shalosh Machanos, the Azara, Har HaBayis, and Yerushalayim. And yet here, with regard to the Yom Kippur par and seer, it says, Mechutz L'machaneh, implying they not be taken out of Yerushalayim. So Rashi explains that it's evident from another braisa that in fact the par and seer are burned outside all three camps. If so, why is it stated Mechutz L'machaneh? That's to tell you that Kevin Shiyatza, Chutz L'machaneh Achas, Matami Begadim. As soon as the par and seer leave one camp, they're Matami those transporting it along with their clothing. The Gemara will address what Rabbi Shimon learns from the Pasuk. And point number three, the opening mission of the seventh parak teaches that after the Kohen Gadol has been informed that the seer has reached the wilderness. He comes to the Ezra's Nashim to read the Torah. If he wishes to read the Parsha while still clothed in linen garments, may do so. If he does not wish to do so, he reads in his personal white robe. The Gemara notes that since the Kohen Gadol can read it in his own personal robe, it's implied that the reading is not in the Avodah that should require Big Tekuni, yet the Mishnah states that he may read it in linen garments. So you may learn from here, Big Tekuni Nitnas Ahazbehen is permitted to benefit from the Big Tekuni even when not performing an Avodah. The Gemara rejects his proof, saying that perhaps the Kriya on Yom Kippur is different to Tzorach Avodahi, meaning that although it's not itself an Avodah, it's an Avodah need. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Samaches, and this Simur was suggested to us by Jeremy Shaiwitz from Woodmere, New York, who suggested Samaches is Schach, so we think of a sukkah. So here goes. The sukkah's Chol Hamoed extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, and tumah sensors detect the moment someone left the sukkah, while someone dressed in Big Day Lavan read from the Torah. Once again, it's the motion. The sukkahs, that must be more in Daf Samaches, Schach. The sukkah's Chol Hamoed extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, which reminds the source that the par in Seir Yom Kippur are dismembered with the skin still on the meat, comes from a lima that connects them to the par called Mashiach, which has nituach with no hebshet, dismemberment with no flaying. The Torah states regarding the par called Mashiach, but the hide of the bull and all its meat, bekiru upirsho, and its innards and its waste. Rapop explained, just as the bull's waste must obviously remain within its innards, so too the bull's meat should remain within its skin. So the sukkah's Chol Hamoed extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, and tumah sensors detected the moment someone left the sukkah, which reminds us of the machlokes when the clothing of those transporting the par and seer become tameh. The chamim hold that as soon as they exit from the walls of the azor, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds mishiyatzi za'ur baruban, as soon as the fire catches hold of the greater part of the limbs. According to the chamim, even though it's known that the par and seer are burned outside all three camps, the pasuk states mechutz l'machaneh to tell you that as soon as the par and seer leave one camp, they are metameh those transporting it along with their clothing. The Gemara addresses what Rabbi Shimon learns from the pasuk. So the sukkah's Chol Hamoed extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, and tumah sensors detected the moment someone left the sukkah, while someone dressed in Big Day Lavan read from the Torah. Which reminds us the Kohen Gadol can wear the Big Day Lavan for Kriya Satorah even though it's not an avoda. As evident, he can do the Kriya wearing his personal begadim. Now, this is not a proof that Big Day Kohuna Nitnas Ahanas Behen, that it's permitted to benefit from the Big Day Kohuna even when not performing an avoda, since the Kriya on Yom Kippur is different to Tzorach Avodahi, meaning that although it's not itself an avoda, it's an avoda need. So once again, the sukkah's Chol Hamoed extravaganza featured a high-tech sukkah, where a par was dismembered by a laser with the skin on its meat, and tumah sensors detected the moment someone left the sukkah, while someone dressed in Big Day Lavan read from the Torah. All right, now it's time for a four-blot back Chazorah. Daf Samach Dalet. So the Simur Daf Samach Dalet is a secret agent. So here goes. The secret agent, that must be more in Daf Samach Dalet. The secret agent spying out the criminal Schlachthaus, where they pushed animals off a cliff as their form of shechita, which reminds us, the Gemara in Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis asks why the Torah need to teach that a Aser L'Azazel cannot be premature, and two answers are given. So on this note, Rava says it's needed in a case in which one who sold the goat to the temple had a seriously ill person in the house, and he slaughtered the mother of this goat on Yom Kippur in order to feed that person. The pasuk is coming to teach that the offspring of that goat may not be used as a Aser L'Azazel, since it's not permitted to be shechta until the next day, due to the prohibition of shechting a mother animal and its son on the same day. In this sense, it's considered premature. The Gemara objects to this answer. The Torah said only you shall not shecht an animal and its offspring on the same day. And this, referring to shoving the goat off the cliff, is not shechita. The Gemara answers that they say in the West, referring to Eretz Yisrael, shoving the goat off the cliff is tantamount to shechita. So the secret agent spying out the criminal Schlachthaus, where they pushed animals off a cliff as their form of shechita, snuck inside while two shochnim argued about whether live animals can be rejected. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph stated that if a goat died after the lots were cast, the Kohen Gadol must bring another pair and cast lots upon them. And if the one for Azazel died, he should say, let the one upon which the lot for Azazel fell take its place, Vasheni Yireh Ad Shista Ev, and the second goat should then be left to graze until it becomes blemished. The Gemara brings about Chokas here regarding which goat is called the second one. Rav says, the second goat of the first pair should be offered, and the second goat of the second pair shall graze. Rabbi Yochanan says, the second goat of the first pair should graze, and the second goat of the second pair should be offered. The Gemara explains that Rab holds Baal Chaim Einan Nidchim. Living things do not become permanently rejected from the Mizbech. Once the goat for Azazel was replaced, the first goat for Hashem becomes valid again. Rabbi Yochanan holds Baal Chaim Nidchim. Living things can become permanently rejected. When the goat for Azazel died, its mate became permanently disqualified, and the goat from the second pair must be used. So the secret agent spying out the criminal Schlachthaus, where they push animals off a cliff as their form of Shechita, snuck inside while two Shochtim argue about whether live animals can be rejected, and intercepted a message with the cryptic words, "It shall be stood alive." Which reminds us, Rav has said a precise reading of our Mishnah accords with Rav, while Brice accords with Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah taught they should say that if the one for Hashem died, let the one upon which the lot for Hashem take its place. This implies that only the dead goat for Hashem is replaced, while the other one for Azazel remains ready to be offered. The Brice that supports Rabbi Yochanan says that when the Pasuk states, referring to the Azazel goat, Yamud Chai V'Losh Chaver Omeis, and shall be stood alive, it implies, but not that its fellow goat died. If the goat for Hashem died, the original Azazel goat is no longer fit for service. The Gemara asks how the words, "it shall be stood alive," imply this ruling, and answers, "Yamud Chai V'Losh Chaver Amud." The words "shall be stood alive" in the future tense imply that it stands now for the first time and not that it stood previously. Daf Samechei, so the Simur Samechei is sheep. So here goes. It was a hard day for the flock of sheep. Sheep, that must be more Daf Samechei. It was a hard day for the flock of sheep when they watched their friend the Seir Azazel die before the blood applications of the Seir Hashem were done. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Samech Beis Amud Aleph stated that Rabbi Yehuda said, "Mesa Mishtoleach Yishafech Adam." If the Seir Azazel died before the blood of the Seir Hashem could be sprinkled, the blood of the Seir for Hashem must be poured out. The Gemara here adds that it's understandable that when the blood of the Seir for Hashem spilled, that the Seir Azazel must be left to die, because the mitzvah of the Seir Hashem, referring to the throwing of its blood, has not yet been carried out. But in the case in which the Seir Azazel died, why must be replaced such that a new lottery needs to be carried out and the blood of the Seir Hashem spilled out? The mitzvah of the Seir Azazel has already been carried out. The only avoda that is essential for the Seir Azazel is the performance of the lottery. The Gemara answers that it was said in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai that the pasuk concerning the Seir Azazel states, Yamod Chai lifnei Hashem v'chaper. It shall be stood alive before Hashem to atone. This implies that it's necessary to be alive ad shas matan damin shel chavero, until the blood applications of its fellow goat, which affects kapara, are completed. If the Seir Azazel dies beforehand, a new goat must be brought to complete the Yom Kippur Avoda. So it was a hard day for the flock of sheep when they watched their friend, the Seir Azazel, die before the blood applications of the Seir Hashem were done, and then heard that the par and seir that were lost and found cannot be used next year. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a brice where Rebbe rules that in a case where residents of a town sent their moxie shekel coin to the base of Migdash, and they were subsequently lost and then found after other coins were contributed, the original coins are credited to the contributors for the following year. Rava said the Rebbe Yehuda holds Chovos Shoshana Zo, Krevos Shoshana Haba. Obligations designated for this year may be offered during the following year. Abai challenged Rava's explanation from Yehuda from a brisa, where Rebbe Yehuda ruled that in a case where the par and the seer of Yom Kippur were lost and then found after others were separated and offered in their place, Kulon Yamusu, all the original animals should be left to die. According to Rava's explanation, these animals should be left for the following year. The Gemara will bring three resolutions that are rejected. So it was a hard day for the flock of sheep when they watched their friend, the Seir Azazel, die before the blood applications of the Seir Hashem were done, and then heard that the par and seer that were lost and found cannot be used next year, even though old funds may be used for Kabbana Tzibur. Which reminds us, Rava responded to Abai that the Yom Kippur par and seer are different than the Shkalim since they are Kabbana Tzibur, which are purchased with funds purchased from the Trumas Lishka, and starting with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they may not be purchased with last year's funds. This is in accordance with the teaching of Bitavi in the name of Rabbi Yoshi regarding the pasuk that states, Zos os Chodesh b'chadsho b'chadshei hashana. This is in the Ol of Rosh Chodesh at its renewal for the months of the year. The Torah is teaching that Chadesh v'havli karpim v'truma chadasha, renew the sacrificial service and bring me an offering from a new separation, meaning from funds from the newly collected Shkalim. This is the reason that found animals may not be used for the Yom Kippur Avoda the following year. The Gemara brings a number of objections, one being that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that while it's a mitzvah to bring the offerings from the new funds, if one brought them from the old funds, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, just not in the optimal way. Daf Samech Vav, so the Simmer Daf Samech Vav is sewing and we use a tailor. So here goes. The old-fashioned tailor's guild, that must be more on Daf Samech Vav for sewing. The old-fashioned Tailors Guild, known for its strict rule forbidding selling last year's Yom Kippur sweaters, lest one wear it on the wrong day. Which reminds us, Rava presents an alternative answer why Rabbi Yehuda does not permit the lost part and seer of Yom Kippur that were subsequently found to be used the following year. He says it is a gezer mishum tekala, a decree out of concern for a mishap that might be committed with the animals should they be kept alive. The Gemara clarifies that the concern is a tekala de hakrava, a concern that someone might get preoccupied with them and accidentally bring them as karbanis before Yom Kippur. However, there is no concern of a tekala de hakrava for animals that are sent to graze, which are not fit for offering, because one will not be preoccupied with them to come to offer them improperly. So the old-fashioned Tailors Guild, known for its strict rule forbidding selling last year's Yom Kippur sweaters lest one wear it on the wrong day, made a proclamation that any member who did not carry a sick goat on his shoulder, which reminds us, the next mission is to discuss the confession that the Kohen Gadol says on the Sir Mishtaleach and the process for sending the goat out of the base of Migdash. The Gemara brings a brisa that presents three questions which were presented to Rabbi Eliezer, and in each case he was evasive in answering. Number one, if the goat became sick, what is the halacha as to whether the designee should carry it out to the cliff on his shoulder? Number two, if the one designated to send it out took sick, what is the halacha as to whether he should send it out through someone else? And number three, if he shoved the goat off the cliff and it did not die, what is the halacha as to whether he must go down and kill it? The Chachamim answered that if the goat became sick, he should carry it on his shoulders. If the designee became sick, he should send it out through someone else. And if the goat did not die, he should go down and kill it. Another Bryce explains that Rabbi Eliezer was not being evasive because he didn't know how to respond. Rather, it's because he would not say anything that he had never heard from his Rebbe. So the old-fashioned Tailors Guild, known for its strict rule forbidding selling last year's Yom Kippur sweaters lest one wear it on the wrong day, made a proclamation that any member who did not carry a sick goat on his shoulder would get one of three alternative punishments for the same sin. Which reminds me, it was taught in the Braisa that a wise woman asked Rabbi Eliezer, since the various acts of serving the eagle are equally prohibited, why were the deaths of those who served it not the same? Well, she explains that there were three types of deaths, the sword, a plague, and hydrokin, a swelling of the stomach. Rabbi Eliezer was evasive. The Gemara brings Malchokas, Rabban Levi, regarding the reason. One said that the one who slaughtered a carbon or burned incense was killed by the sword. If he embraced or kissed it, he was killed by the plague. And if he was inwardly happy that people served it, he was punished with hydrokin. The other one explained that those who had Edim and Hasra were killed by the sword. If they just had Edim, they died by the plague. And if they had neither, they died by hydrokin. Daf Samach Zayin. So the simmer Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. The ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue. Barbecue. That must be more in Daf Samach Zayin. Sizzling barbecue. The ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue, sitting at tables laden with baskets of bread, which reminds us, the next mission describes the Ishiti's trek to the Azazel cliff, where 10 sukkahs were set up intermittently along the way, and at each sukkah they would say to him, Hari Mazon, Hari Maim, here's food and here's drink. Now, it was taught in a braisa that no one ever had a need for this food and drink, so why did they offer it to him? Elisha Enu Doma, Misha Eshul Paspasalo, Lamisha Enu Paspasal. Rather, it was offered because the hunger of one who has bread in his basket doesn't compare to the hunger of one who does not have bread in his basket. So the ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue, sitting at tables laden with baskets of bread, keenly watching in anticipation for the red strip meat indicator to turn white. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that originally they would tie the Lashon Shel Zohoris on the doorway of the on the outside, and if it turned white, they rejoiced, but if it didn't turn white, they were despondent and ashamed. They therefore instituted they should tie it on the door of the on the inside, but people would still peek in and see what happened to it. They therefore instituted they should tie half of the strip on a rock and half of the strip on the goat's horns. Rabbi Nachum Bar Papa said, and then Rabbi Lezer Al-Kapar, originally they would tie the strip of red wool on the door of the on the inside, and as soon as the goat reached the wilderness and was pushed off the cliff, the strip would turn white, and they knew that the midst of the seer was complete. As it says in the Pasuk, Imu chatechem kishanim kishel yelbinu. If your sins will be like crimson, they'll become white like snow. So the ravenous Bachrim at the barbecue, sitting at tables laden with baskets of bread, keenly watched in anticipation for the red strip meat indicator to turn white, while enjoying their view from on top of the harsh and rugged mountain next to a cliff. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa Azazel, Shia Az Vakasha. The term Azazel indicates that the mountain should be harsh and rugged. It might be thought that the seer can be sent to a mountain in a populated place. The Torah therefore states, Bemidbar, in the wilderness. Umanayin shebetzuk, and from where do we know that it must be a cliff? The Torah therefore states, Gezera, meaning cut sharply, such as a cliff. A braisa was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, Azazel, Shemechapra, Maisa Uza, Ba'Azael. The term Azazel indicates that it atones for the act of Uzza and Azael. Rashi explains that this refers to the two Malachim of destruction who descended to earth in the days of Naamah, the sister of Tubal-Cain, and proceeded to cohabit with the daughters of man. They represent the sin of adultery for which the Seir comes to atone. All right, that concludes the Shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.